Grant our minds this morning understanding, light and clarity. There is no confusion in this atmosphere, no contradiction. We receive precision and accuracy. All our hearts are refreshed at the truth that is found in your Son Jesus. And our minds are focused to know Him and Him alone. No flesh glories in this insight. No flesh glories in this knowledge. And we all behold Him, your Son, as He sees us in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, we'll continue from where we continued from. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. We started that sometimes last week. We continue. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now, what's he saying yea and nay to? It's specific. Alright, so the next statement explains it. For all the promises of God in Him. Okay? So by the time you, anytime you read the promises of God, you're referring to the Old Testament. That's where promises were made by prophecy, precisely. So it says all the promises of God, okay, that's the Old Testament. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We've explained that. And then we said the word promises is not plural. I told you the assumption that where you see plurals, plural words in plural, not necessarily that they are in plural. Most of the time, the translators made it like that based on context. For example, the word promises there is the word epagelia, which has no plural form except within context. And then we said that the word promise there, the word all there, doesn't refer to quantity, but to greatness. We said that before. All the promises would now be the great promise of God, referring to one thing. How do you know it's not plural? Just by reading on. You know, because you expect to see different things. When you say promises and it's plural, you probably expect to see like two or more things being spoken. But it says, in him, yea, in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. So this is the promise. He has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So that's the promise. He sealed us, which is the word sphragizo. It means proof of ownership, proof of belonging to me. Sphagizo, that we've seen, we've examined that word over and over again. Then it says, given the earnest, where you have the word Erebon. Erebon, one is the Old Testament, one is the Greek word. It simply means a guarantee, something that is like a collateral. But more than that, it means something of more value than what you expect me to do. So in other words, you can get what I said I'll do from this and much more. This can do what I said I will do. Something of that nature. So he says that's the promise, okay, that God gave. God gave his Spirit. Now I want you to listen carefully because we're going to do some thinking this morning, just like we do all the time. But the word given is a key word in the New Testament. The New Testament is about giving. The New Testament is not about taking. So, this is a critical study here. It's about giving. He has given, just like the word epagelia. Epagelia is a commitment I make and no other person will do it but myself. So, he has given us the Spirit in our hearts. And we said that's sonship. He has given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, by using that term, given, It brings to bear a common denominator in the epistles. You see, you need to understand the language of the epistles. There's a language. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Now, by saying he will guide you into all truth, then he says he will bring to your remembrance, John 14:26, whatsoever things I said to you. Okay? And John 16:12 says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. I'll be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. John 16:13. He will guide you into all of the truth. So in other words, we have a revelatory ministry of the Spirit. I mean that he reveals things to us. Now pay attention. That means that just like when you study chemistry and then you study biology, that's two different subjects now, whether in your secondary school or not, that's common to all of us. But by the time you get to university, what is common to all of us is that aimless course you do in your first year and second year, I think, general studies, where those who will have other carryovers elsewhere will have an A. And those who have an A elsewhere might fail it. That's the mystery of education. I've seen people study computer science without a computer. That's just serious, you know. That's the mystery of all ages. Interesting. But then, how did I get here now? So you have biology and chemistry. You have words that will be used in the different subjects, but mean different things. So you must pay attention to the verbiage, or better still, the grammar of each subject, and not necessarily always give a biological definition to a, I think I said chemical word, right? Yeah, chemistry word, chemical word. You know, what it means is that there are, the Bible has its own definition. The Bible has its own expressions that may not suit English. It may not suit English and what have you. Now, by using the word given, don't forget, we said he has given. Now, in John 3:16, Jesus summarized the New Testament. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave. A word in the epistles that almost matches the same words used for Jesus is the word to give or gave. To give or gave. One prominent phrase in the epistles is give, giving, gave, or gifts. It's prominent. That is why the word to ask is less, is used less. The word to ask is used less. The word give, gave, is prominent. We'll spoil it again next week, but I just want to pay you to pay attention to that fact. So when you say he gave, he has given. Okay? That is the denominator, a common denominator of the new covenant. Or better still, all the books of the new covenant. It is a language he gave. In fact, Romans 8:32, Paul's argument was hinged on this. He said, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, look at a double emphasis on giving, because spared not your own son already means you gave your son. I remember somebody was trying to preach how God punishes his children. So he saw that text. So even the Bible says he who spared not his own son. Some guys have some deep insights. He who spared not his own son, spared the rod and spoiled the child. That's the text there. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him freely give us of all things? That's very instructive. That's the new covenant. Gave. That's why in Jesus' words, he will say that you might have. He that believes will have. So it's a giving God that is seen in the new covenant. Very different from the image of God portrayed in the Old Testament. He gave. And that's why his promise is what he gave. What he gave is his promise. So listen carefully to that. So when we say he has given us, that just summarizes again the new covenant. And it's from that verb that we derive a common word called grace, which is the word charis. Grace. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John writes from verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Then he says, in him. That's very vital. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. Then he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He says, the same came to bear witness of the light so that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. He only was sent to bear witness of the light. That true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Then he says, he came to his own, or to the world, even though the world was made by him, but the world did not receive, did not know him, pardon me. Then he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he, notice that, he came. So you don't go to him. He came. Then he says, as many as received. To what? He came, received. To them gave he the power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Which were born, not of blood, not of the will of man, not of flesh, but of God. Then he says, the word became flesh. Did you discover that the active words were used for him? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld him as all the glorified, full of grace and truth. Then in 16, he says, of his fullness. Again, of all we received. That's how I knew that about John. Why do you put that in the synoptic? You should have left that for your epistle. That's not a synoptic account. That's revelation knowledge. That's no longer historical. Have we all received? There is grace for grace. He says the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth. You can't say grace and truth was given. That's tautology. Grace and truth, or grace, which is the truth? Somebody said, we have grace, is now to know the truth. Come. Let me hug you. Grace, which is the truth, came by Jesus. The word came there is the word to exist as Christ. So if you have called him God from verse 1, that means grace is his character. He gives. So that's the term of the new covenant that explains the character of God. So grace, therefore, describes his character. So in that promise, when he says he has given us the earnest of the Spirit, that's just another way to express what God has done for us in Christ. Listen now. So we have words like grace, We also have words like, you know, different words to explain the same thing. We have another one called charisma, which we are going to look at shortly. Charisma. Charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma now refers to when you have it. Now, there are words that describe how I gave. I can give you a dirty slap. That is not charis. But if I give you, for example, if I say, I gave you my wristwatch, let's pretend that I'm going to do that. No. Alright, let me try it. Why are you looking at me like that? You have another plan? Okay, I gave you my wristwatch. It's not coming out. Alright. So, this is, be careful. This act is, talk like this. You're not on television. This is grace. Me. Right? So this describes my action. Now see, it's with him now. Though I gave him, it is still a gift. But I'm no longer giving it. It's now a charisma. Right? Not exactly. You have it. It's now a charisma. I imagine I can't wear it again. Hey, brother? Oh, thank you. So, that is, you have those words. You have another word called doria. Doria, again, stresses the fact that it's for your benefit. You have doron. Different words that express that fact. That God gave it. He gave it. He gave it. And then it's yours. So, having said that, when you say all that, go back again to, grace describes the benevolence of God. The benevolence of God. The fact that it's free. It's used 157 times. Just that word, grace. You also have the word, other ones like charisma and all that. But then, 157 times. So, that's why you cannot in any way threaten a believer about what God gave. Because it's already given. So, the same 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, remember, somebody accused us of not doing this. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the fellowship or sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now people think that because it was written at the very end of the letter, it means that at the end of every service, turn to your neighbor saying, surely, surely, even that's in the Old Testament, but then you match the two. Surely, surely, turn to your neighbor, surely, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And now you dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And then you leave the service. You just said you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then you head for the door. How about that? How about lying just in 1 minute? You know, but then let's leave that. But the guy said, I don't like what you do in your church. Why? You don't say the grace. So, I think it was in one of our former venues. I said, okay, bring your hand. Let's say quickly, go on. You know, you just get a little bit. Are you okay? We have said it. Now go. Anyway, so it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is what, the grace of Jesus, what he gave, and the love of God, not two different things. When you see the word and, it's not all the time, it's a conjunction. Sometimes it is just a continuation of the statement and an explanation. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, all right, and which is the communion of the Holy Ghost. The word communion there means fellowship. Fellowship is the word koinonia. Koinonia in the Greek is K-O, all right, N-O-I-N-A, koinonia. So it means to share. That is, what is in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has shared with us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Or he has given to us the Holy Spirit. So, and you see that every letter of Paul ended with that phrase. Or most of his letters. He had that phrase almost all the time. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. 1 Corinthians 16:23, the same thing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you all. Notice the word be is italicized. So he wasn't praying. He was making a proclamation. That say, Jesus died for your sins. He doesn't say, Jesus be died. Jesus be alive. No. Jesus is alive. So by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Then again, Galatians 6, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 24. Grace with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Philippians 4:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. Amen. Colossians 4, verse 18. Grace with you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 13, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. Amen. 1 Timothy, even a pastoral letter. Grace with you. 1 Timothy 6:21. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit. Grace with you. Amen. Titus 2, verse 15. Grace with you all. Amen. Philemon 25. The grace of our Jesus Christ with your spirit. Amen. Hebrews 13. That's not Paul anyway. 13:25. Grace with you all. Amen. So, that just goes on to show the emphasis of the new covenant is what God gave. That is, what God gave is with you all. Hallelujah. And so, what did he give? He calls it the fellowship of the Spirit. So God has given his Spirit. Right? The grace of God is the fact that he gave his Spirit. So the giving of the Spirit is with us. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So when we relate or speak about the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, we're referring still to the grace of God. What God gave. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts is italicized, 1 Corinthians 12 1, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That's what he says. Now look at that. The word spirituals there, we said it, is the word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos is, you spell pneuma for spirit, P-N-E-U-M-A. P-N-E-U-M-A. T-I-K-O-S. Concerning the things of the Spirit. Now, a lot of people write books about the Holy Spirit. And they say, the Holy Spirit is gentle. That's interesting. And then they write 2 chapters on his gentility or gentleness. You say he's a gentle spirit. Then they have another one. The Holy Spirit's favorite color is purple. Heard that before? And I say, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't like noise. I'm serious. You say, the Holy Spirit. But you see, what we are taught are the things of the Spirit. But that means that writing mystical things. They have to say, the Holy Spirit is your best friend. Who is your better friend? Holy Spirit is my best friend. Before I wear anything to the service, I ask Holy Spirit. Their sister there in the 90s, highly respected, she used to tell us that before she wears anything, she asks the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what shall I wear? And I really looked at her and I felt, it takes a spirit to recommend this. But I had no guts to say that in her presence. She was too spirified It's the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you don't know anything.
So the Holy Spirit just, you know, as I was just going, the Holy Spirit was just ministering to me. Have you heard that? Was just ministering to me.
Was just ministering to me.
And then he said to me, he said, do you know that I've made you a sledgehammer for the ministry of the world?
You know? And then you ask the person, what is the diverse kind of tongues? But you said the Holy Spirit was ministering to you. He forgot to tell you that. What's a revelation gift?
Revelation gift. That's the book of Revelation.
So, yes, tell me the different gifts of the Spirit.
Say, one, the gift of organizing.
You heard that before? So there are people that talk like that. But it says now concerning the things of the Spirit. Don't forget, that is, we're going to be discussing grace. Right? Concerning the things of the Spirit. Or concerning different aspects of the grace of God. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So verse 4. Now, there are what? There are what? Diversities of what? Now, wait. But the same... Okay, so we say diversities of gifts. The word gift is charisma. But the same grace. So we can say diversities of charisma, but the same grace. So, we all have been given the Holy Spirit. Let me use that term loosely at this point. And within what we have been given, there are things given in the gift. And he says there are several of them, or diverse, which is the word dahareses. Then he says in verse 5, which is where our focus will be today, there are differences of administrations. Pay attention now. The word administrations there means ministries. Ministries of the gift. So, whilst we might be recipients of the same charisma as touching the gifts of the Spirit, or the gifts in the Spirit, he says now, there are different ways that that charisma is ministered. Then he says in 6, there are diversities again of operations. It is the same God that worketh all in all. In other words, we have the same Spirit, but we will not have the same workings of the Spirit. We have the same Spirit, but we do not all have the same workings of the Spirit. You're about to see that shortly. And so that's why Paul goes into his explanation by using the physical body. And he mentions the physical body. He says it's a whole body. But the whole body is not the eye. He says the whole body is not the ear. Out of the ears. The whole body is not the nose. The whole body is not the head. The whole body is not the feet. The whole body. And he says, even in the physical body, there are parts of the body that you don't even see, but they function. So he said all that to explain the diversity. That there are diversity of functions. Because they are, if you observe very well, go to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6 again. Charisma is possession. Verse 4. Diaconia, where you have ministries, is ministering it. that's active. Then he now says there are operations which again active. So in other words, pay attention now. By using the physical body, he is describing function. So Paul's explanation of the physical body is to explain ministry and operation. Because when he says, the same God, verse 6, worketh all in all the gifts in all the ministries. So, we'll come to that shortly as well. So we'll have diversities. You must know the diversities. You must know that. That's why he said, you must not be ignorant. You must know the diversities. These are not things, you know, these are not things that should be reserved in any school, Bible school, as we have today. No. Paul wrote this to a church that he called babes. But there are some Christians today, as soon as you start talking about ministry gift, they just switch off. Is that what we put food on my table? Are you so lazy? You came to church to hear how to put food on your table. Did you not see the signboard? How can church be where you want to learn how to put food on your table? Go and get a carpenter. He gets you a table. Go and buy food. Put it on your table. You can't turn church to all that. See, we want something that is relevant. 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 Relevant to us now. So, if you were hungry, and I give you food, and you eat, and you're full, especially if you are not the heavy eater kind of person, and then you're okay. So, my work ends, since I'm no longer relevant. Or, you were looking for a job, you came to church, and then we got you some brethren to get you a job, and then we have fulfilled our task. You feel what I'm saying here? That can be the role of the church. If the church must rise up in the next election. I said, you seem not to have a Bible again. Go take your Bible. The church has no business with elections. The members can do elections because they are citizens. The church has no business with elections. The church is such a place that if you come from another country, you should feel welcome. Nothing we say should be strange to you. So, he's Paul. He says, I would not have you either. That's somebody who is an apostle. Who's an apostle? There are many. He doesn't know who that is. Who's a prophet? Prophet. Those who are wearing white garments, have you? Have long beard. You don't even know what it is. See, that's for Bible school. I want to know how to make soap. In the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where were we now? So, see, I would not have you ignorant. You must know them. So, he describes these diversities. And these diversities are not our creation. It's not like they are diversities now. God may choose to use somebody in this. I mean, they are diversities. It depends on how the Spirit is moving you per time. Say, for example, God has called me to politics. Come, let me hug you. 1 Corinthians 12. He says in verse 18, but now has God done what? Set the members. He's done that already. Every one of them in the body, as has pleased him. As has pleased who?
Him.
Are you there? Are you following this? Look at verse 27. And you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 28. Let's say 28 together. And God has what? Set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. God has already set that. You can't create, the same way you can't suddenly create something in the physical body. God has set that already. Your job is to find out what God has set. And every believer must do that. So, there are diversities. But, he calls it the same Lord. So, he uses the physical body, pay attention here now, to explain the ministries and the functions. Once again, let's go back to the two prophecies that we have been examining. The two prophecies we have been looking at. The first one is Ezekiel 36, verse 26. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 12. Ezekiel 36, 26 is a prophecy of the promise of God. Don't forget. And he says in verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You know, we said that the promise must be, the promise is from the Old Testament. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Ezekiel 36, 25. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Remember the word within? The word within means that when we look at you, we must see that. It's part of you now. Then he says, and I will take away the stony out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Notice the operative word there is within you, in you. Second one is Joel chapter 2. Pay very good attention here. I want to tell you something very, 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 very vital. Joel chapter 2. Joel 2:28, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. So one says upon, and one says within. And we said, there are not two spirits. That the most definitive and the most analytical and the most clarifying is Ezekiel's prophecy. Now, why do we say the most clarifying? Now, prophets spoke in different lights. Some spoke with greater light than others. For example, look at Matthew 11. If you have listened to our series before, The Law and the Prophets, I showed you how prophets had different levels of revelation. And were they so classified? Yes, they were. Jesus, for example, quoted Isaiah and David more than any other prophet. Even though he still yet explained all the truth about himself from the entire Old Testament, as it were. But yet, he quoted more of David. And you could see that. When, on the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted more of David. In fact, David is arguably, and I'm going to leave this for another day, the most quoted prophet of the Old Testament. And obviously, his psalms were not psalms to put inside water. Have you done it before? This brother has done it before. The way you are smiling. don't know if I have done it before. No, they did it for me. But I drank it. You see. Oh Lord, you hold your Bible like this and you carry the water. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills, and what coming my help? In the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and angels. You know, come on. So, Matthew 11. In verse 9. Now, this is Jesus talking about John. What went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. Now, the word more than a prophet actually is an old word. It means a greater prophet. Perissos in the Greek. P-R-I-S-S-O-S. It means more is a greater prophet. Okay? Why did Jesus say that? Because of the role that John played. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Then, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen what? Greater than John the Baptist. He's talking about prophets now. Than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He's talking about prophets. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets, let's take verse 13 together. For all, everybody, one more time. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until what? So John's revelation was seen as the most clarified. Okay? That's what Jesus meant there. Now, don't forget, John had no single miracle to his name. But he's called the greater prophet of all. Now, why did he say greater? Because that's the word available then. You can't say greater than many, more than one or two. You know, that should be greatest. But then greater is the old language used there. Just like you can't expect billions. There were no millions and billions when the Bible was written. So you have myriads, hundreds of thousands, which in those days was classified like zillions. You know about zillions? You know zillions? Zillions. Since you have billions, they go to Z. Zillions. So imagine if I have 1 zillion. You spend it alone. So Jesus obviously said John had more light. Okay? In Luke 24. Luke 24. So obviously Ezekiel had more light than Joel. Luke 24. And verse 25. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Okay? So, he's quoting the prophets. But then like we said, he had prophets that he quoted with much more gravity than others. So, in explaining the Spirit and what God gave in the Spirit, Ezekiel's prophecy is much more clearer about the new covenant than Joel's prophecy. Let me say it in a clearer way. Joel's prophecy is because of Ezekiel's prophecy. You can't have the outpouring of the Spirit without the indwelling of the Spirit. It is the indwelling of the Spirit that produces the outpouring of the Spirit. In the indwelling of the Spirit, God is the most active. In the outpouring of the Spirit, the man is the most active. Or is the more active, because there are two. So in the indwelling, God is the more active. In the outpouring, man is the more active. So, follow this now. In Luke 24, we're still there. In 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, and being at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, something happened to them when he did this. Look at verse 45. I'll start from 44, actually. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? Come on, talk to me. Where? The law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Let's take 45 together. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So is this at this point that these folks believed what he said? He opened their understanding. That's the word danogio, which means that for the very first time, they saw the prophecies of the scriptures fulfilled. They saw it. They saw it, not just that they saw it in the book, in their understanding, that's faith in their hearts. So, he said that they might understand the scriptures. Now, it was after Jesus had done this, pay attention, It was after he had said this, which we can safely call the indwelling of the Spirit, that he now talked about Joel's prophecy. So Joel's prophecy is upon a man's salvation, or upon a man receiving the indwelling of the Spirit. So when we say upon is because it is first within. Now wrap this down quickly. The term in is what God is what God sees, pardon me. So the Spirit in is what God sees and what God does, or what God did. I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk. I'll take away the stone out of your flesh. In John 16 or John 14, 16. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Verse 17. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. In you, what God does and what God sees. Upon you is what men see. Upon you is what men see. And also is what you do. I'll take it all over again. In you is what God does, what God has done, and what God sees. Upon you is what you do because of what God has done in you, and what others see. And that's why, pay attention now, the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy and Luke 24:49 is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is to explain Joel's prophecy, not Ezekiel's prophecy. Even though Ezekiel's prophecy is fulfilled in there, but it's not given explanation. For example, the folks who were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:1-4 already had received the Spirit within them. Same thing, the folks in Acts 8 in Samaria. Same thing in the house of Cornelius, and same thing in Ephesus. However, that wasn't given an explanation. What the book of Acts is for is to document and explain the Spirit upon. That's why the book of Acts does not refer to believers as sons of God. Because the focus there is not the Spirit within. Even though the Spirit within is inferred and can be seen, but the focus is the Spirit upon. You will not hear God being called Father except two times. And the two times is what Jesus said, the promise of my Father. Acts 1:5. Acts 2:33. Being by the right hand of God exalted, he has received from of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he now has now shared, the things which he has now shared, which you now see and hear. So, that's the only times. You don't hear God being called Father again in the book of Acts. Did they know he was their Father? Of course they knew. But the essence of the book of Acts is to see the fulfillment of the Spirit upon. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying here now. So, the book of Acts is not a book for spiritual growth. It's not a book for spiritual growth. Even though you will need to make references to it in learning spiritual growth, but the book of Acts is a book that focuses on the Spirit upon. Now, let's follow this. Look at Acts 1. Learning something? You learning something? Acts 1. The former treatise have I made, Acts 1:1, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, notice this. This was written by Luke. Put your hands there and see something very similar. Luke chapter 1 verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand, Luke chapter 1 verse 1, to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. Pay attention here. Verse 2. Even as they delivered them to us. Notice that they delivered them to us. Who are the they? Which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He's referring to the apostles of Jesus in the four gospels. So Luke is telling you that my account is received by someone. People told me. Okay? So he says, it seemed good to me also, saying, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Verse 4. That thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, Theophilus obviously is saved. He's a man of means and influence, if you can say that. And so, Luke is saying, I'm going to put together the truth about the incarnation of Christ. Alright? Things that I was told by the apostles. Things that they said happened. Those who were there from the beginning. So he writes that and gives it to Theophilus. That now this is to know those things that Jesus did and said before he rose from the dead. Now, this is different from Acts 1:1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Same person. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Pay attention here. Look at some key words in there. He's saying to you, I'm giving you a message, an account. The word church is there means an account. An account of the things that Jesus said to his apostles. Then in verse 2, whom he had given commandments. Now, look at that word commandments. Hold on one minute. Was that commandment a commandment to be saved? Huh? No. No. It's the word, pay attention here, it's not to be saved. E-N-T-E. Double-L-O-M-A-I. Entelomai. E-N-T-E-L-O-M-A-I. It's not salvation. It means what should be done. Matthew 4:6, you have that same word. What should be done? Matthew 17, verse 9. He charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. He charged them. Matthew 19:7. Moses did then command to give a writing of divorcement. Now, that's, by the way. Notice that what he's talking about is the task that Jesus gave them to do. So, this book is about the fulfillment of that task. So, you and I can say, the book of Acts is really about the work of the ministry. The book of Acts is about the work of the ministry, which is the spirit upon. Remember we have said, the spirit upon is for ministry. Can you remember that? Okay, so the book of Acts is about the work of the ministry. So, look at the word entelomai again. Go back to Matthew 28, verse 20. I'm going to start from 19. Oh. All authority, 18, is given unto me, 18, in heaven and in earth. One authority. Can we take verse 19 together? Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. Is that salvation or ministry? Salvation or ministry? Verse 20. Now you don't forget the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost I've explained to you. That's just an addition from somebody. I don't know who it was. Verse 20. teaching them to observe what? That I have what? Hello? I'm with you always. The word commandment there is the same word entelomai. The things I have commanded you. Now the word entelomai is to create a pattern to follow. I won't deal with that today, but let's leave it. So what he's saying in other words is the book of Acts is for us to see the fulfillment of that commandment. That is, it's a book, go back to Acts 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. Now the kingdom of God there refers to the preaching of the gospel. We see that next week. Maybe the week after. They should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. The promise of the Father is not the new birth. The promise of the Father here refers to the work of the ministry. The Spirit upon. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Quickly go to verse 8. And this is the reason why the next thing Peter or one of them said was, look, when will you restore this time the kingdom to Israel? Because what he was talking to them about was authority. Work to do something. Then he says, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive, let's take verse 8 together, you shall receive what? It's come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. This is what the book of Acts is about. The word upon is the word epi. We've seen that many times. It means at you, at your instance. At your instance. It's not on your head. Upon doesn't mean on your head. No. Upon simply means at your instance. You shall receive. So upon is what we see. That's why in Matthew 28:20, he says, to observe the things I have commanded you. The word to observe is to watch. Then he says, lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. The word lo is oraho, something you will discern. So in other words, in the book of Acts, we will see Christ alive in the church. We will see Christ alive through the church. So the Spirit upon is seeing Christ at work through a believer. Lo, I am with you. That is, in talking about ministry, he says, I am with you. He doesn't say, I am with you, don't worry, I'm with you as you start your company, I am with you. There's nothing wrong in saying that. But that particular portion had to do with the work of the ministry. I am with you. So, there will be ministry also is a manifestation of Christ. The new birth. It's Christ within. Ministry is Christ upon. That is, people will now see the living Christ in service. The living Christ in ministry. That's what the book of Acts is about. So, the book of Acts is to show us how these folks evolved in that commandment. How they carried out the task. The Spirit upon. So we can say the epistles teaches us the Spirit within and how it produces the Spirit upon. The book of Acts is our reference point to the Spirit upon. So if you don't like the book of Acts or you don't read the book of Acts, it's simply because you have not been having the Spirit upon.
That's why I wouldn't like the book of Acts. The book of Acts is for ministry. So let's get back to our earlier discussion. We said, grace, therefore, is the Spirit's work. Write this down now. Joel's prophecy, I think I said it earlier, is a product of Ezekiel's prophecy. They are not two different experiences, as it were. Look at John 16. John 14, not 16. John 14. Look at this. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, let's take verse 12 together. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me. Now, he that believes on me is upon his resurrection, right? Let's go further. He that believes on me, let's go. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto where? Look at 13. Let's go 13 together. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I, that the Father may be glorified where? See that? That will I do. That's the Spirit upon. That's the Spirit upon. That will I do. The works. Works there refers to mighty deeds. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice what he says. He says, he that believes in me. So, let's begin to see how the Spirit upon works. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Did I talk about this the last time? When I mentioned T.L. Osborne, did I? Huh? Was it in this series or something else? This series? T.L. Osborne, when I mentioned cloven tongues preaching the gospel? Okay, so I'm fine. So, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak. See where the activity is. They began to what? Speak. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they began to speak. So, in the Spirit upon, who is active? I am active. Now, look at verse 14. After they all were mocking, interestingly, the responses of the crowd has become the doctrine of many churches. How in the world would you understand tongues by what the crowd said? You can't understand. You can't understand the things of the Spirit from what the onlookers said. Maybe you should have listened to Peter. People neglect what Peter said, and they are particular about what the audience said. What did the audience say? The audience said, these men are full of wine. Yes, one. What did the audience say? The audience said, we hear them speak in our own tongue. Yes. So they spoke Ijebu. They spoke Igbo. They spoke Hausa. Cry for yourself. Let me hug you. I'm changing my phrase this year. New Year Revolution. Verse 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Lifted up what? His voice. So in the Spirit upon, your voice is active. He lifted up his voice. Then he began to speak. Spirit upon. Spirit upon. Look at verse 43. Spirit upon. Let's say 43 together. Let's go. 43. Oh, before we go there. Then, when Peter was done speaking, verse 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said, Peter, so Peter answered the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They said,
The Lord knew it. Hallelujah. It's called the Spirit upon. Hallelujah. You act now. She said, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Very definitely, very assertive. And they heard those things, and then they were saved. Look at verse 41. Let's say 41 together. Then they that received whose word? His preaching. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon what? And many wonders and signs were done by Jesus. The works that I do shall he do. And greater works. Hallelujah. They were done. Because that's what is written upon. You shall prophesy. You shall. So the Spirit upon is for activity. Let's follow on now. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So the Spirit upon, I am active. Say the Spirit of God upon, I am active. Why am I active? I'm active because I have the Spirit within. So who puts the Spirit upon? I do. I put the Spirit upon for men to see. I put the Spirit upon for men to see. So, let's follow on. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. We'll go back to this one quickly. There's some things to talk about. Okay. Now, it says, God had set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, it says, God has set some in the church. I'm going to ask you a question. Is he talking about persons or ministries? Huh? Very good. So, he's talking about ministries. Now, for today's teaching, let's play with the first thing he says. It says, firstly, which is the word proton. It means this is the order. Firstly, apostles. Then, secondly, prophets. Then, teachers. That's how God set it in the church. So, and you can see that historically in the book of Acts. Firstly, apostles. He first gave the commandments to his own apostles. Firstly, apostles. So, now, pay attention now. Can we say this term, apostles, is the grace of God? Is it the grace of God? It's what God has done. Very good. So, now listen carefully, listen carefully. So, it's the grace of God when he set it and is now in the church. It is now what? A charisma. So the church now has apostles. Do you understand? Remember my wristwatch? Is it with you? You know, the church now has what? Apostles. The church now has what? Prophets. So that means the function of the apostle, the function of the prophet, is the grace of God. It's what God has given. Follow this one. Look at Romans 12, 3. Romans 12, 3. But I say through the grace given unto me, look at this, is very vital. I say through the grace given unto me, it is not salvation. To every man that is among you, not to think more of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's better still, a measure of the faith. Let's take verse 4 and verse 5 together. Let's go. For as we have many members in one body. Okay, so every time you see body, what are we talking about? Ministry and function. Can you remember? When you see body, what are we talking about again? So let's go again. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function. Verse 5. So we being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of the other. Having them what? What gives them is charisma, differing. Is that similar to 1 Corinthians 12:5? Come on, church. Having then what? Gifts. Charisma. Differing according to what? The grace that is given to us. Is that talking about the indwelling of the Spirit? Huh?
No.
We all have the indwelling of the Spirit. But in talking about the function in the ministry, it says it differs. Yeah, it is ministry. Look at what, my own grace is football. My own grace is football. Hey, that's serious. Hey, oh my, what? That's it, football. Oh, my own grace is, No, it's, you can't just create grace. I have a grace for driving. Cool down. You just like driving. Okay, so in ministry, you don't create grace. Ah, that guy has grace. Oh, he has grace. Ah, he has grace, eh? That guy has grace of toasting. That's not it. This is talking about supernatural equipment for the work of the ministry. Is that clear? Notice what Paul says. Every one of us has been given. You don't say, well, my own is marketplace. It's not just marketplace. It's stock market. God has called me to the marketplace. So why do you mean, you know, some of us are not just, we're not cut out for all that touching. You know, very rude people. So if you are an apostle in the marketplace, I don't know who created that thing, but God have mercy. Paul was in the marketplace. So was Priscilla and Aquila, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy. But they never told us their achievement in the marketplace. Paul didn't tell us how many tents he invented by the Holy Ghost. So say, you know, the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is doing inside me? He's giving me solutions for economies. So after giving that solution, one Muslim gives his own that is better than your own. Have you not disgraced the Spirit of God? So the Spirit of God is not second. Stay with the Bible. Hallelujah. Just stay with the Bible, okay? Praise the Lord. Just like singing, anybody can sing. The best singers are not Christians. I don't want to tell you my own best singers. If I tell you now, you'll be praying for me. So people can sing good, they're not Christians. Hallelujah. Some people are very good orators. When they talk, I had a friend like that in my secondary school. He's always pushed ahead to talk. Where there was one fight between two schools. Those guys they swore. He just went there and he spoke. And they were healing him. So, when he got involved in the work of the ministry, I said, bros, I hope you're not using this thing on the believers. It was a joke, really. So you don't say that. You must know that God has already set. Your own is to find out. Is that very clear? Don't create grace. Say, my grace is, you know, I'm in the operations department. That's where my grace is. So my grace there is. You can use your talent to serve the Lord. No doubt. But when it comes to the ministry gifts, it's by the Spirit. The Spirit upon. Are you in church? Now let's look at a few things. So, obviously, that means that the ministry gift is in measures. Is that very clear? It's in measures. Measures. We're all the same in the spirit within, but we're not the same in the spirit upon. We're all sons, but in service, we differ. We are distinct servants in that context. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And also, look at how Paul began this. In verse 4, there's one body. Let's take it together. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. One spirit. Even as we are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord. One God and Father of all, who is above all. One God, one Father, one baptism, one spirit. But look at 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that means when it comes to what he's about to talk about, it's in measures. It's not one. It's in measures. So he uses the word metron. Metron is to take out of a hole. To measure out. To take out of a hole. Follow this, please. Then in verse 11 to 16. Or verse 7, it uses the word doria. Doria in verse 7, the word gift there is the word doria. It means what God gave for your benefit. Then verse 8. Can we take verse 8 together? Alright, let's go. Therefore he said, when he set up on high, he looked after the cavity, and he gave gifts unto men. The word there is doma, D-O-M-A. It's also, when you see the gifts, is the gift itself is descriptive. For example, Matthew 7:11. You know how to give good gifts. So when you see gifts, good describes the gifts. So when it says he gave gifts unto men, that means the men describe the gifts. So the gifts are men. So when it comes to this, for example, the men who are the beneficiaries of the gifts now take they take as it were the place of the gifts. So as I say, the guy has the gift of an apostle, he is the apostle. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you getting this? He is the apostle. God has set it in the church, okay, as a charisma. And so the charisma is now a person. Doma, for his benefit, he takes it. Then he becomes, Doria, he takes it. Doma, he now takes the characteristic of the gift. So, when somebody is called a teacher, for example, the teach is in him. The teach is in him. There's a supernatural equipment, and he is also the supernatural equipment. When we see him, we see the gift. You can't have the gift in his absence. Are you following what I'm saying here now? Good. So, he says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, measures, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So, in this, the grace is the charisma, and the man takes the position of that gift. Peter calls it, 1 Peter 4:11, charisma as well. Just write that down. We'll sort all that out next week. Look at 1 Corinthians 15.
Jumoke, are you taking note of what I'm saying? I'll sort out next week. Help me take note of what I say. I'll sort out next week. Somebody has accused me that I'll say next week and I don't do it. So that I will not be accused. This is the new year. All things are passing away. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 10. But by the grace of God, watch this now, I am what I am. See that? So, you are. Don't say, I'm what I am. They are referring to your car. Okay? Leave that one. That's not what we're talking about. By what God has given, I am. So, the charis now makes me the charisma. That's what Paul is saying here about himself. I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See what he's doing? He's changing the terms. Or he's exchanging the terms. So I wrote in my note. So this grace of ministry functions with the person who takes the identity of the grace. God gave apostles as men. That's why Paul would say, I, Paul, an apostle. He doesn't say, I, Paul, who has an apostle? No. I, Paul, Ephesians 1:1, an apostle. He opens his letters like that. Just like Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses. So in the ministry gifts, in the walking of the Spirit and the Spirit upon, the man takes the identity. Whatever you do, so he's the one doing it. Are you following this? He's the one doing it. So, the grace becomes available with the person. The grace becomes available with the person. We're going to see this. He becomes the administrator. As it were, if you can, he is now in charge. Look at Romans 1. So, in the Spirit upon, you become the administrator. And that's why it doesn't make sense in ministry to compete. It won't come because you prayed. It doesn't make sense. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and I said, there was a pastor. I love the man, but I just cannot relate with him anymore. Yes, several years ago. He said something, and I was surprised. He said, you know, what they do in their church was that they go to a church that is thriving. No, thriving means numbers. Already, that's already commercial in orientation. It's commercial outfits that look at numbers. Commercial. This year, our balance sheet, that's a commercial. Church does not talk like that. You know? Sometimes, impact is when you reduce in number. Yep. Sometimes, impact is when some people stop coming. Are you following what I'm saying here? No, a pastor was telling me yesterday. He said, sir, he said, the church income has reduced. I said, it's a national issue. He said, but can't the church function in Goshen? I said, you have to travel far. You can't have Goshen in Lagos. When there was recession in Jerusalem, the ministry work was going, the sick were getting healed, the dead were being raised, but there was no money. The gifts of the Spirit does not supply money. It's not for money. So what do we do? I said, have mercy on your church members. Stop having big, big projects. He said, but sir, I said, you are going to turn into a thief. The way I'm looking at you, you are going to start stealing. Reduce your projects. What project are we talking about? He said, sir, but I said, if people are getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they are singing, and they can hear their voice in the service. You are doing the will of God. All this microphone is not the will of God. All this thing is permissive will of God. What is important is you say, Father, and he doesn't say, use mic, use mic. When you are singing to the Father, he say, use mic, use mic. I can't hear. Is it not true? So all those things, by the time you are majoring on those kind of things, you are losing focus. You are losing focus. So people are so particular about going on television, they no longer do evangelism. Their members cannot preach to themselves. We are telling yourself you are born again. But when hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go on the street and preach. Preach the gospel. You say, do you know Jesus? That's my Jesus loves you. Evangelism, I say it's my Jesus. Some guys just know how to give out flyers, they don't know how to preach. And they are dancing on the road. Some people will roll on the floor. In the mud. Okay, let me leave that one. So I told the pastor, he said, we go and check a church that is thriving. The way they preach, and when we improve upon it, I knew that this will no longer be my friend. We don't do that here. We just do everything that is fine, and we move on. What about, you know, the three, some say, we have to bring in a consultant in our church to tell us what is the weakness, what our strengths in your church. Change the name. GTB. Access Bar. Then your church. Then UACM. Consultant. To tell your catchment areas. That when they did that statistic data, they found out that we have more influence among this class of society. I said, Romans 1. I said, that's why it doesn't make sense. Because the grace of God is the grace of God. Hallelujah. So sometimes you see that great gift of God and you just like how he's doing things. He doesn't change what he has been given. Is this read upon? He doesn't change what he has been given. Romans 1, verse 11. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you. It is a God by the Holy Spirit. I must impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Can you imagine? I. The word impart, the word give there is charisma. That is why he uses the word I. It's charisma. Pay attention now. The word impart is the word metadidomi. M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-A. M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. Sorry. M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. It means to share. That means I'm sharing what I have with you. Spiritual. For me to share it, that means you don't have it. Luke 3:11, you'll find that word there. And Romans 12:8. Is exclusive to me. Ephesians 4:28 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8. Luke 3:11, Romans 12:8 about giving. Ephesians 4:28 and 1 Thessalonians 2:8. To share. To impart. Metadidomi. To impart to you. So impartation, it means what I have, you now share in it. Like giving you my food, my own. So he says, I impart you. I'm sharing it with you. It's not a joint heir with us. No. It's what he has. He's sharing it. Look at Philippians 1:7. Another place. The spirit upon, we'll see that next week. Again, maybe a week after. The spirit upon functions a whole lot in the congregation of believers. Philippians 1:7.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the pains and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of what? My grace. Can you see it? The word my is the word ego in the Greek, E-G-O. It is personal pronoun, my grace. Not the grace of salvation. The word partakers there is the word sukoinos. Koinonos, sorry. S-U-G. K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. It means to enjoy what another person has. You see it in Romans 11:17 about the Jews and the Gentiles. Romans 11:17. And with them partakers of the roots and fatness of the holy tree. 1 Corinthians 9:23. Romans 11:17. 1 Corinthians 9:23. For I do for the gospel's sake that I might be partakers thereof with you. You enjoy what somebody else has. God gave him, and then he shares it with you. And this happens a whole lot by the laying on of hands as well. Go to Romans, Acts 8, quickly. Acts 8. You learning something? Acts 8. Look at verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now observe this very well. When then they laid their hands on them, they laid hands, and received the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He's trying to sow a seed, as we call it today. I don't know how seed became money, but God help us. So many things are strange today. Oil is the Holy Spirit, seed is money. What else? The Holy Ghost is not a crystal ball. This year, the president should be careful for his heads. The governor of Lagos State should be careful for the kind of car he drives. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now I'm going to ask a question. What is the gift of God in that instance? Their ministry. Is that clear? May be purchased with money. The gift of God. Their ministry to lay hands. Give me this power, which is what the apostles ministered with in Samaria. Then he says in verse 21, that thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. The word part nor lot there refers to a portion given to you. Now, why did Peter say that? Because Peter is the administrator of that gift. You have no part nor lot in this matter. Look at Matthew chapter 10 verse 6. Say the ministry gift. Is the gift. See, the ministry gift is the gift. The ministry gift is the administrator of the grace of God. Matthew 10 verse 8, sorry. Let's look at this together. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. That means do not make a demand for it. That means you are custodians of what I've given you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, I'll close here. 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at that. 1 Timothy 4:14. So, the laying on of hands is one of the ways we share in a ministry gift. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now he repeats that statement, but this time about himself, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6.
Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Notice again, the people is talking about her ministry gift. They share their ministries by laying hands. 1 Timothy 5:22. That'll be my second to last text. Are you there? Now watch this now. I need you to think right now. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now that's a bit wrong arrangement of syntax. Actually, the B part there should be after the word partiality in verse 21. It should be, I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect angels, that thou observe these things. Because he's talking about rebuking those who have been wrong. Without preferring one another, do nothing by partiality, neither be partakers of any man's sins. Keep yourself pure. That's what he meant. That flows. You don't become a partaker of someone's sins by laying hands on the person. So, you only become by being partial. So verse 22 should be, lay hands suddenly on no man. Obviously, the ministry gift is the administrator. So he's saying, pay attention, do not hastily do this. Don't put people in positions of authority quickly. The word there is tachios. Don't do it suddenly. So obviously in the work of the ministry, you don't just take people from nowhere, you know, and put them in leadership. Because the moment you do that and you lay hands on them, for example, you're a pastor and you put them in positions of authority, you are doing what? You are sharing your gift. You're sharing your grace. So he says, don't do it suddenly. Ensure that the persons are tested, they are proven, and so on and so forth. But either way, look at that. The laying on of hands, therefore, I'm closing here, is a way to share the grace of God. To make others enjoy or walk in the benefit of the grace of God resident in another. And it works a lot of times in the assembly of believers. 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6. It works in the assembly of believers. Amen. You learned anything this morning?